Hello, my name's Dave Emery, and this is For the Record program number 273, titled B as in Bush, B as in Borman. This is being recorded on January 28th of the year 2001. One of the major items of discussion on this broadcast for the last several years has been the Borman Flight Capital Organization, that is named for Martin Bormann, the real power behind Hitler and the Third Reich, and even more importantly, in charge of Third Reich banking, and even more importantly, in charge of the Borman Flight Capital Program, in which 750 corporate fronts were set up in neutral countries towards the end of World War II, and all of the Nazi capital, billions of dollars, was then secreted in these corporate fronts for use later not only for German industry, which was controlled through holding companies by the Bormann Group, literally the economic and political component of a Third Reich gone underground, but it also permitted the continued funding of the Nazi Party as an underground entity, albeit very deadly, sort of like a super global Nazi mafia. What we're going to be doing in the next two segments is looking at a growing body of the next 2 half hours for the record program 273, which is 2 half hours in length. We're going to be looking at a growing body of circumstantial evidence suggesting that the Bush family is in all likelihood the American front for the Bormann organization. And if that doesn't scare you, I don't know what does. Research credit on the following goes to a member of the listening audience who got this from the Sarasota Herald Tribune of Saturday, November 11th of the year 2000. This is an article put together by the Sarasota Herald Tribune staff headlined "Author Links Bush Family to Nazis," and this was accessed from their website, that is to say the Sarasota Herald Tribune website at newscoast.com. This reads in part as follows. Now, the main element here is the Union Banking Corporation and the Bush family, and as it develops, the Bush family fortune comes from the post-war liquidation of the Union Bank in 1951. The article reads, again, Sarasota Herald Tribune, 11/11/2000. The president of the Florida Holocaust Museum said Saturday that George W. Bush's grandfather derived a portion of his personal fortune through his affiliation with a Nazi-controlled bank. John Loftus, a former prosecutor in the Justice Department's Nazi War Crimes Unit, said his research found that Bush's grandfather, Prescott Bush, was a principal in the Union Banking Corporation in Manhattan in the late 1930s and the 1940s. Now, here's the really important part here. That is by way of review for veteran listeners. Listen to this. Leading Nazi industrialists secretly owned the bank at that time, Loftus said, and were moving money into it through a second bank in Holland, even after the United States declared war on Germany. The bank was liquidated in 1951, Loftus said, and Bush's grandfather and great-grandfather received $1.5 million from the bank as part of that dissolution. Quote, "That's where the Bush family fortune came from. It came from the Third Reich," unquote, Loftus said. What we're going to do now is to take a look at an element of the archives. And this talks about who ran the Union Banking Corporation. And again, Bush's great-grandfather, that is George Herbert Walker, whose last name George W. carries as a middle name, and his grandfather, who was Prescott Bush Sr., respectively, by the way, the grandfather and father of the first President Bush, George the First, as I call him. What we're going to do now is to jump back into the archives to June of 1992, and we're going to listen to an excerpt of one of the supplements from June of 1992 to the Uncle Sam and the Swastika broadcast, the first installment of which was done on May 23rd of 1980. Now, the article that you're going to hear excerpted here is the cover story of the Village Voices issue of May 5th of 1992. The article was authored by Curtis Lang, L-A-N-G, and is titled, "Will Family Scandals Sink George Bush?" And by the way, that reference is to George the First, not the current president. And again, this is from June of 1992, a short excerpt from one of the supplements to Uncle Sam and the Swastika.
In 1931, Harriman merged with the British-American investment house of Brown Brothers, and Brown Brothers Harriman was born. The U.S. government seized Union Banking as a front for the Nazis in October 1942 under the Trading with the Enemy Act, according to a recent article in the Austin Chronicle by David Armstrong. The government found that the bank was controlled by the Bank voor Handel en Scheepvaart NV of Rotterdam in the Netherlands, and that this Dutch bank was in turn controlled by German industrialist Fritz Thyssen and his associates. Spellings, by the way, that bank is Handel en Scheepvaart. It's H-A-N-D-E-L, small E-N, capital S-C-H-E-E-P-V-A-R-T.
That again excerpted from an addendum to Uncle Sam and the Swastika from June of 1992, the original broadcast from 52380, and in turn the excerpt that you heard read was from the Village Voices cover story of May 5th of 1992, authored by Curtis Lang, entitled Will Family Scandals Sink George Bush? Now note that the Union Banking Corporation was controlled by the Thyssen family. That is spelled T-H-Y-S-S-E-N. The Thyssen family is one of the major components of the Bormann Flight Capital Organization. The relationship between Thyssen and Bormann dates back to the early 1920s, which is when the relationship between Thyssen and the Bush family dates too. What we're going to do now is to review from For the Record program number 186, titled, What Does the W in George W. Bush Stand For? We're going to review a segment in which we not only listen to excerpts from the book The Secret War Against the Jews by John Loftus, authored in hardcover by St. Martin's Press, copyright 1994. By the way, not only authored by John Loftus, but co-authored with Loftus by Mark Ahrens, A-A-R-O-N-S, hard and soft cover editions, St. Martin's Press, 1994. You're also going to hear some excerpts from the seminal book about the Bormann Flight Capital Organization, Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile. You will hear that introduced. Now, as you listen to what you're about to hear, keep in mind the relationship between Thyssen, Walker, and Prescott Bush Sr., the relationship between Thyssen and Martin Bormann, the relationship between the Thyssen interests and the Bormann Flight Capital Organization, and also the Hamburg America Line, another Bush family business which was not only deeply involved with the Third Reich, but which was also a key element of the Bormann Flight Capital Group and also involved with the Himmler Kreis, involved with capitalizing the SS during World War II. Here is an excerpt from For the Record program number 186, What Does the W in George W. Bush Stand For? Hitler was one of Hitler's most powerful financial supporters in the United States. And what we're going to do is to take a look at the other connections of the Bush family and some of the links that the Bush family and the Bormann Group have in common. We're going to begin by taking a look at the genesis of the relationship between Martin Bormann, the leader of the Third Reich gone underground, at least until his retirement some years back, and not only a fellow named Fritz Thyssen, one of Hitler's top industrial backers and a fellow that we looked at in Uncle Sam and the Swastika, among other programs, as well as numerous For the Record segments, but we're also going to take a look at the coincidental time of the formation of the link between Fritz Thyssen and Martin Bormann and Fritz Thyssen and the Bush family and old W himself, George Herbert Walker, the man for whom George W is named. We're going to begin by taking a look at the book Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile. That is the definitive text about the Bormann Group. It was authored by Paul Manning. Paul Manning was part of the CBS News team that covered World War II in Europe, along with Edward R. Murrow. Paul Manning broadcast the surrenders of both Japan and Germany on the CBS radio network. He covered the air war in Europe by training to become a waist gunner on a B-17, and then covered the air war in Japan by becoming a nose gunner on a B-29. He then followed up his heroic work as a journalist in World War II by performing an perhaps even more dangerous or equally dangerous and less thankful task, tracking the remarkable and deadly Bormann Group in the post-war period. His landmark text, Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile, was published in hardcover by Lyle Stewart and copyright 1981. And of the genesis of the relationship between Martin Bormann, the leader of the Bormann Group and the person for whom it was named, or whose name it carries, and Fritz Thyssen, spelled T-H-Y-S-S-E-N, we read as follows. By the way, the occupation of the Ruhr here was the French occupation of the Ruhr industrial region in 1923. Manning writes as follows in Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile. Fritz Thyssen was fortunate to have had a long-time relationship with Martin Bormann, beginning in 1923, and then skipping down about the French occupation of the Ruhr. Fritz Thyssen had organized the Ruhr industrialists into a resistance force which refused to make steel or dig coal for the French. Bormann, then the youthful district leader of the Mecklenburg-Freikorps Rossbach, a paramilitary organization established to disrupt French military movement in the Ruhr, had carried out a series of daring sabotage exercises by night while working as an estate manager by day. Hardly more than a boy, he came to the attention of Fritz Thyssen. The two-tiered resistance, Freikorps and corporate, was financed by the industrialists. At a time of raging inflation throughout Germany, the Reichsmark had little value. But Thyssen and his peers in the Ruhr had printed scrip to finance the resistance through workers' wages. The relationship between Thyssen and Bormann was limited. But when Bormann was released from Leipzig prison after serving a one-year sentence for political assassination of a traitor friendly to France, both became imbued with the doctrines of Adolf Hitler. So note that the long-standing relationship between Thyssen and Bormann began in 1923 in numerous For the Record segments, including World War II Redux done in February of 1998, and For the Record segments 122 and 123, we've taken a look at how close the Thyssen family, including old Fritz Thyssen, was to the Bormann family and the closeness of the two families and the nature of the relationship of the Thyssen family to the Bormann group is described in this brief passage from Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile, as follows. Count Federico Zichy Thyssen, capital Z-I-C-H-Y hyphen, capital T-H-Y-S-S-E-N, grandson of Fritz Thyssen, Claudio Zichy Thyssen, and their families are intimate friends of Bormann. Because of this friendship, Martin Bormann has three sanctuaries, his own pampas spread in Argentina, and the Thyssen ranches in Argentina and Paraguay. So note the connection, the very close connection between the Thyssens and Martin Bormann, and note that this began in 1923 during the French occupation of the Ruhr. It was in precisely this time period that the relationship between Fritz Thyssen and the Bush family and George Herbert Walker began as well. Once again, we're going to turn to a landmark text, The Secret War Against the Jews, subtitled How Western Espionage Betrayed the Jewish People. This was co-authored by John Loftus and Mark Ahrens. Loftus is a former career military officer and Justice Department investigator with a high security clearance who, having power of attorney for a number of retired British and U.S. intelligence agents, was able to enlist their aid, along with he and his co-author's massive scholarship, to produce this landmark work. Unfortunately, it is titled The Secret War Against the Jews, which I suspect has held back its popularity. Many people have said, I don't like Jews, I don't want to read about Jews. It's a remarkable text. What it's really about is the intelligence community, the petroleum industry, and international fascism. And it's an extremely important work, an unfortunately titled one, but nonetheless very important. Of the relationship, the genesis of the relationship between the Thyssen family and the Bush family, specifically George Herbert Walker, for whom W is named like his father, and the importance of George Herbert Walker and his son-in-law, Prescott Bush, the grandfather of George W. and the father of the former president and CIA director, we read as follows. Now, note again the close relationship between the Thyssens and the Bush family, the Walker-Bush family, and note that the genesis took place at the same time as the genesis of the relationship between Martin Bormann and the Thyssens. Writing of George Herbert Walker, the man for whom our former president was named and for whom the W in George W. stands for, we read as follows. Walker was one of Hitler's most powerful financial supporters in the United States. The relationship went all the way back to 1924 when Fritz Thyssen, the German industrialist, was financing Hitler's infant Nazi party. As mentioned in earlier chapters, there were American contributors as well. Some Americans were just bigots and made their connections to Germany through Alan Dulles' firm of Sullivan and Cromwell because they supported fascism. The Dulles brothers, who were in it for profit more than ideology, arranged American investments in Nazi Germany in the 1930s to ensure that their clients did well out of the German economic recovery. Quote, Dulles clearly emphasized projects for Germany and for Mussolini's fascist state. All told, these and more than a dozen similar transactions had a combined value in excess of $1 billion. Sullivan and Cromwell was not the only firm engaged in funding Germany. According to the Splendid Blonde Beast, Christopher Simpson's seminal history of the politics of genocide and profit, Brown Brothers Harriman was another bank that specialized in investments in Germany. The key figure in the firm was Averell Harriman, a dominating figure in the American establishment who, for almost half a century, helped form many of Washington's major foreign policies. Some of his allies in this latter endeavor, who also served on the firm's board, included Robert Levet, who, as previously discussed, worked closely with James Forrestal to lead the State Department's revolt against Truman's pro-Zionist policy during the UN debate on the partition of Palestine, and George Bush's father, Prescott, who later became a U.S. senator. The firm originally was known as W.A. Harriman & Company. The link between Harriman & Company's American investors and Thiessen started in the 1920s through the Union Banking Corporation, which began trading in 1924. The Harriman Company and the Union Banking Corporation, two of the links between the Wall Street crowd and Fritz Thiessen, and just who the key people were in the Union Banking Corporation and Harriman, discussed here as follows by Loftus and Ahrens. In just 1 3-year period, the Harriman firm sold more than $50 million of German bonds to American investors. Bert Walker was Union Banking's president, and the firm was located in the offices of Averell Harriman's company at 39 Broadway in New York. In 1926, Bert Walker did a favor for his new son-in-law, Prescott Bush. It was the sort of favor families do to help their children make a start in life, but Prescott came to regret it bitterly. Walker made Prescott vice president of W.A. Harriman. The problem was that Walker's specialty was companies that traded with Germany. As Fritz Thiessen and the other German industrialists consolidated Hitler's political power in the 1930s, an American financial connection was needed. According to our sources, Union Banking became an out-and-out Nazi money laundering machine. As we shall see, there is substantial evidence to support this charge. Note that Harriman Company and Union Banking with Herbert Walker and Prescott Bush, George W.'s grandfather and the father of the president and former CIA director, being centrally involved in Union Banking and Harriman & Company, that placed them right in the middle of the financing of the fascist powers of Europe, Hitler in particular, and also placed them in direct contact with the Thiessens. Bear in mind that the genesis of that relationship took place at the same time as the genesis of the relationship between Martin Bormann and the Thiessens. More on Prescott Bush and Herbert Walker's financing of Nazi Germany. While the United States languished in the Depression, Walker made millions for his clients by investing in Germany's economic revival. He decided to quit W.A. Harriman in 1931 to concentrate on his own firm, G.H. Walker, while his son-in-law stayed behind to run the show for Harriman. Some say that Walker left George Bush's father holding the bag. Others say that Bush specialized in British investors in Nazi Germany, while Walker handled the Americans. In that same year, Harriman & Company merged with a British-American investment company to become Brown Brothers Harriman. Prescott Bush became one of the senior partners of the new company, which relocated to 59 Broadway, while Union Banking remained at 39 Broadway. But in 1934, Walker arranged to put his son-in-law on the board of directors of Union Banking. Now, the next passage here discusses the Herbert Walker and Prescott Bush's relationship to the Hamburg America line, which was not only a cover for Nazi industrial espionage and regular espionage in the United States, but as we shall see, the Hamburg America line was one of the companies that figured significantly in the Bormann Flight Capital Organization's machinations. The relationship between the Bush family and the Hamburg America line and the Bormann group for the Hamburg America line, yet another element suggestive of the distinct possibility that the Bush family may be linked to, and in fact, as I am of the opinion, a front for the Bormann group in the United States. Continuing. Walker also set up a deal to take over the North American operations of the Hamburg America line, a cover for I.G. Farben's Nazi espionage unit in the United States. The shipping line smuggled in German agents, propaganda, and money for bribing American politicians to see things Hitler's way. The holding company was Walker's American Shipping and Commerce, which shared the offices at 39 Broadway with Union Banking. In an elaborate corporate paper trail, Harriman's stock in American Shipping and Commerce was controlled by yet another holding company, the Harriman 15 Corporation, run out of Herbert Walker's office. The directors of this company were Averill Harriman, Burt Walker, and Prescott Bush, two of the three directors of the parent company of the Hamburg America Line, a key element of the Bormann Group and a major vehicle for Nazi espionage in the United States. Burt Walker and Prescott Bush, George W.'s great-grandfather and grandfather, respectively. Continuing. In order to understand the character of this firm, it should be recalled that Brown Brothers Harriman had a bad reputation, even among international bankers, as hard-nosed capitalists who exploited every opportunity for profit in a harsh and ruthless manner. In a November 1935 article in Common Sense, retired Marine General Smedley D. Butler blamed Brown Brothers Harriman for having the U.S. Marines act like, quote, racketeers, unquote, and, quote, gangsters, unquote, in order to exploit financially the peasants of Nicaragua. At some point, Prescott Bush must have realized that his father-in-law was, to put it mildly, a very shady character. A 1934 congressional investigation alleged that Walker's Hamburg America Line, quote, Hamburg America Line subsidized a wide range of pro-Nazi propaganda efforts both in Germany and the United States, unquote. And again, note that Hamburg America will be a key element of the Bormann Group. Skipping down, instead of divesting the Nazi money, Prescott Bush hired a lawyer to hide the assets. The lawyer he hired had considerable expertise in such underhanded schemes. It was Alan Dulles. According to Dulles' client list at Sullivan and Cromwell, his first relationship with Brown Brothers Harriman was on June 18, 1936. In January of 1937, Dulles listed his work for the firm as, quote, disposal of Standard Oil investing stock, unquote. As discussed in Chapter 3, Standard Oil of New Jersey had completed a major stock transaction with Dulles' Nazi client, I.G. Farben. By the end of January of 1937, Dulles had merged all his cloaking activities into one client account, quote, Brown Brothers, Harriman, Schroeder, and Rockefeller. Schroeder, of course, was the Nazi bank on whose board Dulles sat. The Rock were the Rockefellers of Standard Oil, who were already coming under scrutiny for their Nazi deals. By May 1939, Dulles handled another problem for Brown Brothers Harriman, their securities custodian accounts, unquote. If Dulles was trying to conceal how many Nazi holding companies Brown Brothers Harriman was connected with, he did not do a very good job. Shortly after Pearl Harbor, word leaked from Washington that affiliates of Prescott Bush's company were under investigation for aiding the Nazis in time of war. In February of 1942, George Bush's father, who was by then the senior managing partner of Brown Brothers Harriman, tried to wrap himself in the American flag, and skipping down, he did so unsuccessfully, as we shall see. Under the Trading with the Enemy Act, all the shares of the Union Banking Corporation were seized, including those held by Prescott Bush as being, in effect, held for enemy nationals. Union Banking, of course, was an affiliate of Brown Brothers Harriman, and Bush handled the Harriman's investments as well. Once the government had its hands on Bush's books, the whole story of the intricate web of Nazi front corporations began to unravel. A few days later, two of Union Banking's subsidiaries, the Holland American Trading Corporation and the Seamless Steel Equipment Corporation, also were seized. Then, the government went after the Harriman 15 Holding Company, which Bush shared with his father-in-law, Burt Walker, the Hamburg America Line, and the Silesian American Corporation. The U.S. government found that huge sections of Prescott Bush's empire had been operated on behalf of Nazi Germany and had greatly assisted the German war effort. And again, note that two of Prescott Bush and one of Prescott Bush and Herbert Walker's major clients, Fritz Thiessen, and again, the genesis of that relationship took place at almost exactly the same time as the genesis of the profound relationship between the Thiessens and Martin Bormann. Now, as we have seen, one of the Nazi front companies that the Bushes helped to handle, Herbert Walker and Prescott Bush, was the Hamburg America Line, and it served to a large extent as a front for Nazi espionage in the United States. The Hamburg America Line was also one of the companies that helped to finance the day-to-day workings of the SS, the so-called Himmlerkreis or Himmler Circle of Friends that we looked at in Uncle Sam and the Swastika, an archive show available from Spitfire. Turning to Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile, of the relationship between the Hamburg America Line and the Himmlerkreis, we read, "The companies contributing comprised a list of important banks and industries: Deutsche Bank, Dresdner Bank, Commerzbank, the Reichstag Bank, the J.H. Stein Bankhaus, Norddeutsche Lloyd and Hamburg America Shipping Companies, and others." Note again that the Hamburg America Shipping Company having played a key role in financing the SS. When the meeting that was to lay the groundwork for the Bormann organization took place in Strasbourg on August 10, 1944, Strasbourg was in Alsace-Lorraine in France, it was presided over by an SS Lieutenant General, General Scheid, spelled capital S-C-H-E-I-D. In briefing the Nazi industrialists present on the plans to secret Nazi Germany's capital in corporate fronts in neutral countries, basically the Bormann Group, Scheid described companies in the United States that were useful for masking German assets and which figured to be useful in the endeavor to come. Quoting from Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile, which in turn is taken from minutes of this meeting Manning got from the U.S. Treasury Department, we read, "Scheid also cited the Zeiss Company, the Leica Company, and the Hamburg America Line as typical firms that had been especially effective in protecting German interests abroad. He then gave New York addresses to the 12 men." Be interesting to know whether some of those New York addresses might have been for Bert Walker and or Prescott Bush. Certainly that would be a very reasonable possibility, though that is not necessarily a conclusion that could be drawn from that passage. But note again that in the planning session to lay the groundwork for the Bormann Group, the Hamburg America Line was cited by SS Obergruppenführer Dr. Scheid. Continuing. We're going to take a look now at the role of the Hamburg America Line in helping to mask Bormann assets that were being secreted in Sweden, one of the neutral countries that figured most prominently in the Bormann organization's operations. Turning once again to Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile, we read, "In shipbuilding, the Swedish companies owned or controlled by German shipping interests accepted vessels built by the Swedish firms and kept them in Swedish waters until after the war. A further example of masked investment was the money paid into the Swedish shipping firm of Rederi AB Skeppsbron, capital S-K-E-P-P-S-B-R-O-N, which received a German-guaranteed loan of $3 million made from German supplies of free Swedish kroner in which the vessels were mortgaged to the lender. Although the Swedish company remained officially the owner of the vessels, the German Hamburg America Line was the real owner." So note again, Hamburg America Line, one of the key companies that the Bushes helped to run for the Nazis, figured in a big way in the Bormann Flight Capital Organization, and that is only one of the references. That again excerpted from For the Record program number 186. We're going to continue with this discussion of the hypothetical relationship, I believe probable relationship, between the Bush family and the Bormann Flight Capital Organization in side two of this program. That, however, will necessarily have to wait to side two. This concludes side one of B as in Bush, B as in Bormann, being recorded on January 28th of the year 2001. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.